Dear gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we thank Thee for Thy Son Jesus Christ, whom You sent into this world to be a Redeemer for all of us who trust in Him. May He be lifted up this morning as He has been done from the start of this service, throughout the service, and to the very end of service. May He be lifted up before our eyes, in our hearts, and in our souls, so that we may acknowledge Him as our eternal Savior, and that we are ready to listen to His voice through Thy revealed truth. In Christ our Lord's name, amen. I was sharing a bit of how I felt about being out in South Dakota for over 10 years, away from my wife and family because of this family considerations that was the best for us. And while that was happening, your congregation so graciously stood with my wife and family, and how touching I felt from time to time from the testimonies of my children and wife as to how gracious You had been to them, particularly through the precious preaching of your pastor, Bill, all through these years. What a debt of indebtedness I feel before God for Your truly amazing sharing of Your heart and love with everyone who was in need. The scripture this morning comes from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. The subject this morning before us is the righteousness of God, and it is divided into three main points before you, if you allow me to present them to you. It is that the righteousness of God comes from faith. That is to say, it is originated from faith in God. The second one is that the righteousness of God is into faith, that is, to the very end of our life, that faith stands as the absolute necessary reality in the life of a saint passing into glory. And then the third one is that of the righteousness of God for the praise and the glory of our Heavenly Father. First, the righteousness of God revealed from the faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior. There are two propositions in front of faith in the original. And one is that of the ek, that means the originating from faith, that comes first part, and then into faith or for faith, as EVS translated, is into or toward, showing the direction. So the point here is that once for all, faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior took place as we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That is a one-time, irrevocable, unrepeatable dealings of God. It is done by God's proclamation that you are now my righteous one. You are now reconciled to me as my child. And that's irrevocable, irrevocable, and that it is not to be repeated. So that is one basic faith feature in considering the righteousness of God. And then that experience of one single event carries on widely, more increasingly, more maturely into the sunset years of our lives as we pass into glory. So that is the meaning of the second proposition, that is ace, that means into faith. So just shall live by faith with the possession of the righteousness of God. In my own experience, this faith in Jesus Christ, the one single event took place some 70 years ago when I was 17 years of age. Then I was a junior high kid searching for something but not finding what I really wanted. And one day, a lady came from a local church and she invited me to come to church, so I did. Not really wanting to find something spiritual, but rather a social thing. But in the course of attending, the church awakened me, the preachers awakened me to the reality that man must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that challenge of rebirth, you must be born again, gripped my heart, a little heart, and made me yearn for it, made me seek for it, but I didn't know how. How can I seek for this rebirth? And then it dawned on me that I must pray. If there was a living God, if there was a God existing, this God must answer my prayer. So I started to go to a local church before I went to school for about 3 months. Every day in school days, I would stop in that church and pray to God, this God, unknown God to me. God, if you are there, please give me this rebirth that you are supposedly talking about. I kept it up for 3 months, as I said. Then one day, I got a news that there was going to be a revival meeting somewhere far away from the city of Busan. So I said to myself, oh, that's a good reason to cut classes in order to save my life. What profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So that was a good reason. I followed that reasoning and went to this meeting and sat on the floor like hundreds of others that evening. And the preacher was a noted theologian educated at Westminster Seminary as a guest preacher because the original speaker could not come. When this man spoke, he proclaimed, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And those words were being spoken, and in those moments, my heart strangely and all of a sudden dramatically warmed to realize what a convicted sinner before God I was. As young as I was fully convicted of my sinfulness, and then looking momentarily for salvation? Where is the escape from this guilt and condemnation and hellfire? And the hell, I can still realize that. I can still visualize the horror of hell, burning hell before me, even now. And that hell scared me, that hell condemned me, that hell held me hostage as if to not let me go from it. And yet my eyes turned to the cross of Jesus Christ, where Christ died for me, and there I gladly grabbed the foot of the cross that Jesus Christ, I receive you. And that moment, I was changed. I knew, because from then on, my heart would burst out in praises and burst out in singing. In the following 7 days, such was the case. And the word had spread to my home back in Busan, saying, "Young son became crazy." By some, others said, "Young son became changed to somebody else." And what a joy that it was. And when I went back home, my dad was sitting there in the house. I said, "Dad, if you don't believe in Jesus, you are going to go to hell." I made the point very clearly to him about that, and he did not like it. No son would speak like that to a father in Korea, and I was totally out of step by saying that to one's father. So he said, "Get out of here. No more place for you in this house." So I had to pack and leave the house that evening. And next morning, my mother came over and said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to follow Jesus." How are you going to do that?" "Well, I'm going to follow that man who preached a sermon, and he's going to be having a meeting in another city, and I'm going to go there and follow him and learn more about Jesus." The point here is that of one's experience that is quite vivid in my memory, and I allow me, please, to thank you for allowing me to share that experience with you. Man must be born again. And the lesson here is that we must seek such new life. And that by prayer, we must gain that experience. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And Jesus said, "Ask, and it will be given you. Knock, and it will be opened to you." And that seeking means not just one-time seeking, but seek and continue to seek. That revelation is given in present tense. Ongoing activity. Always seeking. That's the point. As we seek God's answer, we do that without stopping. And if anyone gets any point from this, and that would be that we need to pray and ask for the answer of gaining new life. The word knock is very interesting. Knock, and it will be open to you. And that word knock is to deliver a blow against something, to strike. It is really hard knocking, as if to demand the delivery. And that probably is the spirit by which we pray to the Father. Father, you have declared that we must ask, we must knock, continue to knock. So please open, please open. I'm not going anywhere. I want this new life. Until I find it, hell may freeze. I'm not going anywhere. I stop here and as if I demand of you. And what a desperate human being in need of his eternal life. And that, I believe, is something of the nature of asking and receiving the answer from our Heavenly Father. Now, there is one impediment to asking. Even as James says in 4:3, James 4:3, you ask and you don't get what you ask for because you ask wrongly, because you want to fill up your desires for your own sake. And the word desires is translated as passions in one version or two, at least one version I checked. And this word is not a very good word in English language. It is related to hedonism. That is a wrong kind of desire, not a pleasing kind to our Heavenly Father. If we have that kind of motive in asking for a new life, that would be a problematic, really, need to be changed to more God-centered desire on our part. Now, what happens when the Holy Spirit comes to convert you? First thing is that you will have, or I did have, conviction of my sin and its punishment in hell. I have already shared with you in my small case. And when he comes in John 16, verse 11, when he comes, that is the Holy Spirit coming, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. He will convict the sin. And without that conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit, new birth is unthinkable. Now, in the second place, the righteousness of God is put in action. What kind of characteristics for the lives of those who are now set on course for service to the Lord and moving on with his life? Today, one of the elders prayed in our pre-service session, and the prayer was that one who brings the message will keep growing. And I said, what a apropos request for my life that was, because I sure need to grow more and more, although age-wise, you know, it's a little bit you might say you have arrived at the end of your life and you no more need anything, you just wait until you fade, but not so. You still have room to grow into something. And you know, Paul says, we all need to grow into the fullness of Christ as members of the church. And he says, grow in love more and more, and how appropriate that growth is, because you can never have love enough in your life. And in defining what love is, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, there is one thing, one characteristic of love, and that is that love covers all. And that word covering is keeping secret of somebody. You know some secrets about your beloved brother or sister, and you don't babble around about them to other people, because that is not the demonstration of true loving. This one word is very, very potent, very, very strong. Keeping secret silently. And how apropos that surely is in the life of a congregation, any congregation, because we need to keep confidence of our brothers and sisters as we get to know them and love them and know them. So that's one way and one area where we need to grow into. The other area is having faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Active faith then pleases God. Do we want to please God, our Heavenly Father? Let's have an active faith. When Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God, that word impossible is absolutely not possible. Not only impossible, but absolutely impossible. That's the word. So if we are engaged in serving the Lord and worshiping him and loving him, we need to have faith in God the Father, who is living and watching over us. It is the case between power or no power. If we want to have power and effective ministry, we need to have faith in God. I remember a Korean preacher who was imprisoned for long, many years because of his opposition to Japanese Shinto shrine worship. His name was Sangdong Han, one of our favorite speakers when I was growing up in South Korea. One time he preached to us, along with thousands probably of people in this big crowd gathering. I still remember his ringing voice saying, "Midra." This is just a little whisper right now. If I just burst out those three words, you would be, three letters, you would be, you know, treating me like a barbarian. "Midra." That means believe, like that. Believe. Believe in God. And that sound reverberates in my brain, even now. Trust in God. Another aspect of the active faith is that of considering ourselves as strangers and sojourners in the world. The Bible is very clear about that. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, These all died in faith. Yes, they lived in faith, but these all died in faith. So whether they started in faith or whether they died in faith, faith was at the center of their lives. And the reason is given here why they did that, and that was that they considered a promised land to come, and that they considered that they were strangers and exiles on the earth, in verse 13, Hebrews 11:13. Do we consider ourselves as strangers and exiles on the earth? This stranger word, stranger, means being unfamiliar with the terrain. When we say we are an exile in this world, that means we are just staying in this world for a while in a foreign place, and that we are going to pass by. One who does a temporary stay is a stranger or exile. Do we regard that as a fact in our life as we exercise our active faith? The last is that of righteousness of God causing us to praise and worship our Heavenly Father at the end. The one example of that is seen in the life of Jacob. It's very interesting how the Bible closes the life of Jacob in the midst of his children, in the last chapter of Genesis, as one who blessed his children and he died. But explaining that scene further, the writer of Hebrews says, he worshiped God at the moment of his death. Bible says, by faith Jacob blessed and so forth, and then he worshiped God on his staff. What a beautiful way to praise God and worship God and fade into glory and be gathered to his people. And that is the way, the destination of our life should be. So let's pray for that. Let's pray for the righteousness coming from faith through rebirth, the righteousness of God active enough to proclaim that we are strangers and sojourners in this world, one with them but not of them. And then finally coming to the allotted lifespan's end, and then praise our risen Savior forever and ever.